Hello and welcome. Today's a fun one. This is something that's near and dear to my heart, and it's all about process and sales performance. See, today I'm going to talk a little bit about how you can get more out of your sales conversations and how you can get more out of the meetings that you're holding by having a bit more process. And it does tap into some of the psychology, but you know, lately I've been talking to people, and one of the things that we all struggle with is how well we measure, we test, we evaluate, and improve. So today's post is called Improve Your Sales Conversations by Learning How to Better Facilitate. How much are you relying on your natural abilities in selling? The big question is whether you actually have a process or if you're simply winging it. You see, on one hand, I'm obsessive about psychology, influence, and all the fun stuff around helping people make decisions. That's the stuff that gets me pumped up. But to be a winner in selling or pretty much anything, you need an airtight process, especially during your meetings. And today, I'm bringing together many of the ideas I've shared from the past few months and giving you a process you can follow and have some fun with. There are some other concepts that I'm going to expand on as well, so bookmark this post and come back to it often. See, I'm not saying that you need to be super rigid or robotic during your sales calls, but rather that you can dramatically increase your conversions when you have a process to test, evaluate, and improve. When you have a track to run on, you can quickly see what works, what doesn't, and you can always get better. Learn how to facilitate collaborative conversations with your buyers, and you'll find that you get a ton of clarity on where you can find those conversion tweaks. So facilitation is dramatically different than pitching or selling. It's about engaging conversation, okay? So, and welcome to many of my new readers as well. I've had the pleasure of talking to people all over the world recently and getting on the phone and emailing, and so I really love connecting and learning about your specific goals and challenges. So make sure you reach out and connect to me. So why the need for formal process and sales conversations? See, following a formal, documented, and tested process for all steps in the cycle will allow you to quickly find areas for improvement. Too often, without a guiding framework, we caught, like I said, chronically winging it, and it's especially dangerous for seasoned professionals because they've always just done it that way. When a framework's not present, the opportunity to create measurable best practices and make improvements in conversions is lost. And for junior or mid-level reps, a framework gives them a consistent series of activities and conversations that help shape and guide them through each stage of the cycle. But without structure, the temptation is to jump into product pitches, skip qualifying, ask poor questions, or prescribe your solutions prematurely. This happens all the time. I've done it. We're all guilty of it, right? And there's also this phenomenon I want to throw on the table here called rookie magic. We've heard this before, where brand new reps experience just crazy success right away. And it's like, it drives you crazy. They start selling, they're super excited, and they just kill it with their numbers. But you want to know why that works? It's their lack of product knowledge translating to excitement and curiosity, their lack of experience that forces them to ask questions and listen, and not having pre-existing bad habits or excuses. This causes them to appear much more authentic and engaging. They don't really have a choice. They don't have anything to prove because they don't have the experience set in, and they haven't become good enough to be dangerous. But something happens to rookies around the 18-month mark, something terrible. They become experts. They've learned all the product knowledge, they have experience, and they've had some wins. They begin to anticipate the needs of their customers, and they start saying very early on in the conversation, "Oh, I know exactly what you need." They fall into selling black hole of show up and throw up and can't figure out what went wrong. See, formalizing your process ensures the teams leave nothing to chance. It gives them a common language, and it provides tangible training opportunities to increase micro conversions. Additionally, it allows new reps to succeed much faster and experienced reps to still find ways to improve. Without a process, organizations continue to sell by chance. Keep in mind, processes don't need to be complicated or time-consuming either. They just need to be effective. We always say complexity is the enemy of selling, so keep it simple. But have a process. See, people make purchases based on the perception of value. And it's not how they perceive the products or services. The real value is in the salesperson themselves. People buy from people, and especially those that they trust. The major thing that breaks my heart is when I see organizations without a formal process taken hostage by senior reps who have plateaued and have the ultimate control over performance and expectations. These organizations make decisions based on incomplete information. So what can you do? I've got a process here you can follow. I call it the agenda for each sales, A-G-E-N-D-A, because I like making acronyms. See, the agenda program is a 6-stage process that helps you, regardless of experience, guide and facilitate better conversation with prospective customers in a complex sale. It's comprehensive enough to cover the bases in most situations and straightforward enough you can apply it quickly and easily. It shouldn't require you to spend more time than you are already. And test this with your teams and with yourself to see where you can squeeze even more out of your conversions. All right, A, set the agenda. Easy to remember, right? The first stage of the initial meeting is all about framing the process for success and setting both the agenda and the tone. And using the word agenda with an agenda makes it easy to remember. So simple. It's all about ensuring that you and your customer are in the same room together for the right reasons. Often this is overlooked and sales reps just jump right into presenting or probing. The agenda usually involves one of the following. Let's solve a problem here together. Let's explore some possibilities. Let's uncover why you may be stuck up until now. And let's talk about your current situation, explore some challenges, and see if we can outline a new direction. Sound good? All right. So of course, this can be made much easier by having a pre-established agenda that both parties have discussed on an initial call, in that initial relationship building phase. So something like, great, when we get together, we'll take a look at your marketing strategy and see where those hidden opportunities are. In the meantime, I'm gonna put some ideas together so we can look at options. How does that sound? Right? They come in, it's wonderful. And at the beginning of the meeting, state the agenda and make sure everyone agrees before you move on. It may seem trivial about getting them to agree, but it's huge. Framing this meeting correctly may end up taking you actually 10% of the time, of the total meeting time, and it's totally worth it. It's totally fine. It's also an excellent way to uncover objections well before they surface, but if the agenda's not set, the rest of the meeting could be wasted. Additionally, setting the tone and agenda involves creating the right atmosphere. This includes first impressions, setting of intentions, and creating flow for your meetings. The tone of the agenda is what can separate a first place rep from a second place rep every time. See, winning salespeople understand the importance of a well-structured process, including the perception of their guests. Remember that your potential customer may have quite a bit on their mind and be unsure of you or your processes. So put buyers at ease by establishing an agreed-upon path together. It helps to remove perceived risk, makes them more comfortable, and allows them to focus on the discussion. It's also going to give them that perception of control. G, gather assumptions. The second stage of the sales conversation process is to elicit assumptions from the prospective customer. This is where questioning skills must be practiced and refined, and you may want to revisit the spin selling stuff I wrote about and that model to help you out here. The ability to ask the best question will dramatically increase the success of your appointments. And without training and practicing skills in questioning, you run the risk of jumping too quickly into solutions without a deep understanding of the problems. Okay? And this is the primary reason that sales trainer, they make an absolute fortune on training around handling objections. The purpose here is to make sure that the conversation is around the full issue and not just a piece. And rushing through this is exactly why you may end up backpedaling against objections later on in the conversation. And when that happens, it's too late. At this point in the dialogue, don't get caught in a discussion about details and resist the temptation to make judgments, dominate the conversation, or solve problems. It's all about getting the facts on the table. The real goal is to have as much to work with as possible to ask powerful questions to elicit responses. So examples are, and I've got about 10 here, what's happening in your business right now? Why are we working on this specific project? What are the challenges that are in the way of this? What happens if you don't do this? What happens if you move this forward and it doesn't work? Who are the important people in the process, and what would they say? If it hasn't worked in the past, why not? What could get in the way of making this successful? What are potential risks? Why is now a good time for you to be looking at this? What's been holding you back? What are your instincts saying? And how would your business be affected if this went forward and it worked? Right? One major benefit of these kinds of questions is that they often open up the chance to ask a disruptive question to dig deeper into the situation. So this could be something like, well, you seem nervous when we talked about this thing. Am I correct? Well, if so, can I ask what's on your mind? Or perhaps someone else is involved in the buying decision and there needs to be some exploration. A disruptive question could be, if you suggested this to your team, the most skeptical person was in the room there and they wanted to throw some roadblocks at it, what do you think they'd say? A word of caution, though. Make sure you practice your questioning skills along with how well you read people. You don't want to end up just rapid-firing questions at people. This is a sure way to lose. Don't make it an interrogation. The easiest way to avoid this is to make sure you set that agenda well in advance in stage one and they agreed to it. They're going to feel much more comfortable going through questions with you. E, explore the truth. Once all the information is front and center, it's important to determine the facts behind the assumptions as well as remove any unnecessary or distracting information. The truth should be the best information that meets the goals of the agenda you set in stage one. And the goal is to have an intelligent summary of what's really important to the prospective buyer. And at this point, your role is really to probe deeper into the assumptions to clarify what's been said. Questions that you can ask around that is this assumption indeed true? Is this really the most important point to consider? How do we know that it's true? Do we have any proof to support it? And is there anyone we need to speak to that has more data we should dig into? When you take the time to help your buyers work through information in this way, you also help create clarity for them. By boiling down all the ideas into a few key points of truth, you're better able to steer the meeting and ease the worries of your potential customer. This further demonstrates your value and presents a nice way to move forward. N, nods of understanding or paraphrasing. See, great salespeople are masters at questioning, listening, and paraphrasing. But the most effective ones take this skill to a new level by making the buyer the hero and replaying their story. At this stage, you should have done a great job of outlining the situation and challenges and have a pretty good idea of the direction of a solution. The caution here is to still avoid jumping into sharing that solution outright. The key is helping connect the dots for the person in front of you and to do so in a way that resonates with them. This is the power of paraphrasing with a story. Humans. Hey, we're all humans, I hope. Anyone that's not humans on this listening, welcome. But humans communicate through story and make decisions based on emotions. Using stories effectively in selling is what winning reps do best. And now talking about decisions on emotions, I do have that four-part series, and there's a link to it in this post that you should check out about, you know, neuroscience, human behavior. It's really fun. I had fun writing it. And when looking at the structure of great stories, there are four common phases. The first one is the situation, where the audience connects with the person in the environment of the story. The next one is the complication. This is the problem the hero is facing, and also a great place for you to be vulnerable. The turning point is the third part. This is the aha moment. And then, of course, the resolution, what the future holds, a new way forward, and a vision of success. And of course, there's too much to cover on storytelling, so there's going to be more information and links to that. And there's a little picture of a story, situation, complication, turning point, resolution. Pretty standard stuff. Essentially, I look at this stage as your opportunity to demonstrate your clear understanding of the buyer situation and create a hypothesis around what's been discussed, but still not to provide a solution. I also use the term conceptual agreement. Your goal is to restate what you've heard, use a story format, make them the hero, and show them a new way forward. And all you want to do here is get them to agree to that they need a solution, not necessarily your solution. And this is important in how you frame your language. So here's an example. Before we move forward, I want to make sure that I understand your story. Is that okay with you? Awesome. Right now, you've built a great business, a successful business that's been steadily growing year after year. And you have some awesome staff that have been a big part of that success. But right now, you're starting to see that the growth has created more complexity in your business and things have begun to slip, especially in sales. Your team has reached a bit of a plateau and in some cases, performance has deteriorated. And don't feel bad, it happens to all of us. You wonder whether it's just your reps being complacent, if it's a change in the way people buy, or if it's just how the market is. Plus, you have some seasoned reps who tell you all sorts of reasons why it's not working. Does that sound right so far? Okay. What we've uncovered in our discussion today is that you currently don't have formalized process and it's been increasingly difficult understanding the exact areas where performance has suffered. Therefore, it's hard to find what to do next. If you could create a system of repeatable best practices where you can then see where the real performance leaks are, you'd give yourself the ability to make more strategic decisions, better forecast your revenue, ensure you have the right team operating at peak performance. And if you're able to make that happen, and soon, you'd be in a position to start pursuing some of those new opportunities you've been nervous about. This time next year, with a finely tuned sales machine, you could be in a completely different world. Have I missed anything? Okay? Now here, after that, this is the only time in selling where hearing the word no is actually awesome. When you say, have I missed anything? And they say no. Now we're ready to rock. And see, when you practice this framework, this conceptual agreement style of speaking to someone, you're watching for nods. Nods mean that what you're saying is resonating with your audience. Always work towards earning nods in any kind of presentation. Bonus tip, use conceptual agreement as an email prior to the proposal you could send. So it doesn't have to just be face-to-face. That way, you open up any last-minute objection discussions and ensure you're 100% on point with your solution. D, almost done. If you're here, the stage is yours. You get to say, awesome, let me tell you about how I think we can make that happen for you. Because we have a solution that will do this, right? This is where you get to demonstrate your insights, provide information about your company, products, services, and pricing. And it's important to note that people make buying decisions in a predictable order. They buy from you, your company, your product, your price, and the time, right? But where does your buyer usually start? Of course, they say, what is it and how much is it? By following the process in the first stages, you've essentially selling you. You are the ultimate value, so make sure you focus on you and sell you. Avoid the temptation to dump your product and company info too early. You're going to lose them. And as long as you deliver a solution here that meets their needs and is within the oscillation of their acceptable price range, you're good to go. Price is never the objection, unless it's the only thing that you try and sell people on. Last one, A, actions and next steps. Of all the steps, this is probably the most important, not just in the sales conversation itself, but in your entire process. Are you asking for commitment to a next step? Are you asking them to take action without pushing them too far to their comfort zone? Are you setting multiple commitment objectives to allow them to move forward in the process in various ways? Or are you simply allowing them to tell you, let me go home and think about it, and then bombarding them with useless follow-up? If you do a great job of all the steps above, the buyer's going to love to move forward with you, but it's up to you to guide them. All right, that's it. That's it for today, okay? Again, I wanted to make sure I gave you a ton, so this was a big one. I want to give you something you can apply to your process right away, so follow this and test it out. You know, give it a few months, see how it really works, see where you're getting those little conversions, and I want to know how it goes. So in the comments below, of course, remember, share this, post your comments, and I look forward to connecting with you guys. Let me know how this helps you or any other ways that I can help you. Have an awesome day.